to Washington, D.C., and Jerry Bodlander.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this fine day?
We're doing okay.
We're in shock like the rest of the country seems to be right now.
Really, it's not a four-letter word, but it might as well be, given the way the market is reacting to the president's tariffs, which we should point out, he made a point of announcing after the market was closed yesterday, because I think everybody knew that the markets were going to react this way. I mean, it's just red all over the board. I mean, the Dow's been down, about 3.5%. That's like 1,500 points. The NASDAQ's down almost 5%. The S&P, the broader market, down almost 4%. Everybody's expecting the possibility of a trade war. Now that the president announced these tariffs with a baseline of 10% on foreign imports, I mean, China's total duties are 54%, and so anybody who's doing any kind of business overseas is trying to recalibrate and trying to figure out exactly where they go from here, because this is just, wide-ranging tariffs that impact everybody, and that's what economists have warned against. During the campaign, Republicans said the president wasn't all that serious about across-the-board tariffs, and when he was elected, he said that, they may just be a negotiating tactic, and they still may be, because we have to see exactly if they are in place long term, or, whether he uses them to come up with better trade deals with companies that are impacted very negatively. Certainly, that's a possibility. But right now, everybody is thumbs down on them, and Republicans certainly don't want to answer questions about it because of the way this is just hitting everybody's pocketbook.
Jerry, you've been reporting for a variety of major news sources for decades. Have you ever seen anything like this?
No. This is basically one individual, the president, making a single order, and it's basically wiping out, decades of the old global trading system that the U.S. Had built. But, the president believes the president's getting a bad deal on global trade. He believes other countries are flooding the market with, cheap goods. It hurts U.S. companies and costs jobs, and they're making it tougher for the U.S. to sell overseas. So he wants to try and eliminate trade deficits by using the tariffs and try to revive U.S. manufacturing and protect jobs. The question becomes, you don't create factories overnight. It just doesn't happen, and especially not in this day and age of computerization. Certainly, factory work has changed over the years. And, the question has to be asked, look, things are produced at a much cheaper wage overseas than they are here in the U.S. And certainly, even if you found ways ways to scale back the cost of manufacturing the item itself, the dollars you'd have to pay for labor would probably eat up any savings, and so the cost would be higher. And so, there's really not been anything like this before. We just sort of have to see how it plays out. There have been groans and complaints from around the world, but as far as I can tell so far, nobody has come out with, retaliatory tariffs just yet, although, EU countries and others have made clear they're certainly looking into it.
Do you suppose the EU will do something as a group, or will the individual countries react?
Boy, that's a good question, because every individual country has, a different exposure to U.S. trade. And certainly, I'm not familiar with the bylaws of the EU, because, they certainly do things in unison on certain levels. Witness the fact, if you're in the Schengen group, which encompasses many of the EU countries, you can travel over borders without having to show a passport. So they've done that. But certainly they each have individual trading relationships with the U.S. And certainly, while the added tax is on the EU at 20%, individual companies may say, look, that's hurting me more than than it looks, and so I'm going to levy a larger tariff on the U.S. We just have to see how individual countries decide to play it.
Of course, the big question on all of this stuff is, will they come to the table and negotiate with President Trump? That's the big question. Or will they simply say, look, you know, we're just going to, we can play the same game?
Well, you know, and that is the big question because, you know, Trump has long viewed everything as a negotiation. And the question becomes, does he want to use these tariffs as leverage to come up with improved trade deals for U.S. countries? Certainly, for U.S. companies, my apologies. Certainly, the Treasury Secretary has made it clear in a variety of interviews since the announcement in the Rose Garden that, you know, everybody should sort of sit back and not retaliate right away. Because as he puts it, that's how you get escalation. He's basically hoping for everybody to sit down and try and figure out a way to avoid long-term economic damage to everybody by these, you know, whopping numbers that we've seen in terms of tariffs that the president wants to implement.
What about Congress? This was an argument I heard for the first time, and I'm not really familiar with tariff law, but they claim that only Congress can set tariffs.
Well, you know, there are a lot of things that only Congress is supposed to be able to do, like closing down parts of the government that apparently are going to close down because Elon Musk says everybody there needs to go. And so, you know, nobody has really pushed back very hard against this administration when it decides to do certain things. Congress, you know, has certain powers, and I'm sure that everybody's going to look to Congress to see exactly what might happen. I'm certain that House members are thrilled that they are not in Washington today, having to face questions in the hallways of the Capitol. But certainly, there's no question that there's a distaste on the Senate side for some of these tariffs, specifically the ones against Canada, because you saw a vote last night where even though Republicans control the Senate, you had four Republicans break ranks and vote to reverse the tariffs against Canada. You know, it's probably the first time Congress has really pushed back, if you will, against the president's protectionist plans. You had sort of the likely suspects, if you will, Rand Paul, who's always argued against tariffs, and Mitch McConnell, the former Senate Majority Leader, saying, listen, tariffs drive up the cost of goods, and, you know, they're just a tax on everybody. And then, you know, they're really sort of spitting into the wind by doing this, but they are laying down a marker because that's going to go nowhere in the House, as we all know. But it also makes clear that there are limits to GOP support for the president's view of, you know, how the U.S. Economy should go from here on forward.
Well, that brings an interesting question up. Yesterday, Mike Johnson didn't like the way a vote went, so he stopped the voting. This had to do with proxy voting.
Yes. It's really a fascinating thing because the way this ended up in front of the House, you have a congresswoman from Florida who just gave birth, Anna Paulina Luna, who's very, very conservative. But she and another new mother in the House, a Democrat from Colorado, they're behind this push, but mostly it's Luna, who gathered 218 signatures on what's known as a discharge petition. Basically, if you want to bring something up in front of the House that the House leadership doesn't want to bring up, the rules are you can bring it up if you get signatures from a majority of House members. And so she did that. Well, the House Speaker doesn't like the idea of allowing new parents to vote by proxy, and he believes it's unconstitutional, even though he did vote by proxy more than a dozen times during COVID, and other times. So, you know, he basically said, listen, I don't like this idea. And so they created new restrictions that needed approval in, you know, on the House floor. Well, you had a bunch of lawmakers who said, listen, she met the standard for getting this on the House floor. You can't change the rules in the middle of the game. And so you had other Republicans who went against Speaker Johnson and said, she met the rules, she should get a vote. And so Johnson didn't like the fact that everybody, you know, that these nine Republicans went against him. And so he just called off votes for the rest of the week. And so the House went home. So he now has to figure out what he can do to try and head off this vote, because by House rules, the minute the House is gaveled into session, this has to be voted on within 2 days. And right now, he's on the losing end of it, it would seem. So he's got to peel off at least five of the nine who voted against the effort to block the vote. We'll have to see what he comes up with, but, you know, there's a distaste for the Speaker changing the rules, you know, and sort of walking away just because he happened to lose a vote.
Is he in danger, do you think, losing his speakership?
Well, you know, that's always the question, given the narrow margins that he's faced with time and time again. And certainly he's helped along by the fact that you've got two new House Republicans via the elections, the special elections that were on Tuesday. That said, this was an issue where he went forward without the backing of the president. You know, this is something that he opposed and he dug in his heels and he lost. And so, you know, the question becomes, how many more times can he do that before House members say, listen, you know, there's a majority of us, majority of members of the House, we should point out, not a majority of Republicans, who voted for this item and followed the rules. How many times is he going to try and change rules that he doesn't like? Right now, he doesn't appear to be in any trouble. We have to see what happens as things move forward. Certainly, the question remains, who would take his place? And, you know, that's always the challenge in the very fractured GOP caucus, because, you know, Democrats are not going to vote for a Republican for Speaker. And so you've got to come up with your own numbers. And that's proved to be a challenge in the past. We just have to see where he stands right now. Right now, he's okay, but, you know, we have to see exactly how hard he pushes against this effort to let new parents vote, and if it leaves a continuing bitter taste in the mouths of an increasing number of Republicans.
Well, we'll end this conversation with you, Jerry, this morning. I just checked with the stock market. It has gotten worse. We thought that they may have shut the trading down, but apparently not. The Dow is now down 1,500 points. NASDAQ is down 917. The S&P 500 down 228. So the negative flow on Wall Street has not stopped.
No, it hasn't. And, you know, right after this, you have, you know, Stellantis, the automaker, stopping production at its plants in Canada and Mexico, as they try to figure out exactly how this is going to play out. And certainly that has, I would assume, a ripple effect on production here in the U.S. because, you know, parts for cars that are sold here in the U.S. go across Canadian and Mexican borders innumerable times before they end up as a whole car and on a showroom floor.
Jerry, as always, we appreciate your great reporting. And thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.